It's Ask TNA Day, where listeners write in with their questions and we answer them. In this month's episode, why is the sex I'm having painful? Then we'll get into, can a relationship survive without sex? Plus, a listener brings up an interesting point about finances and dating.
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A.
Welcome to another show.
It's episode 109.
I actually love these episodes because we kind of
Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah. Really engage with like our own experiences to help our listeners, as well as I love reading their responses as well. People who write us. So yeah. Makes my day. Okay. Before we launch into the topics, I wanted to ask our listeners, we are trying to hit 100 reviews on iTunes by the end of September. That's our goal. And it can be a little tricky to find where to write the review on iTunes specifically. I know we have a lot of listeners on different devices, but if you have an iPhone, you actually go to the iTunes store where you've originally found it. And then when you tap on us, there's three tabs that say details, reviews, related, like below the icon, and you'll tap on reviews, and then below it says write a review. So then you can tap
write
it.
Write a review.
And I'm pretty sure you can also enter kind of your, you have to put in your password for your Apple ID, but then I think you can even sign it with like a different name. So if you're concerned about kind of like a public thing,
right,
but it doesn't show up anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I think if
and I just want to say that the reason why is because it really helps with our visibility with the iTunes app and our ratings. So that would be very helpful. Thank you.
iTunes like rates it with points, and it's like if you have this many reviews, you show up more. So even though we have a lot of listeners, without the reviews, it doesn't rank as much.
Yes.
Womp womp.
So anyway, we thought we'd go more in depth.
No, because it is. Oh, this is the other trick. If you are already subscribed and want to write a review via your phone, it's kind of a little nuisance. It's like you have to, from what I can tell, unsubscribe. Is that a bad idea? Don't do that. You have to then go onto your Apple computer. You know what?
That will probably be better.
If that happens, write us personally at advice@tatalksex.com and we will help you get that review written.
But, iTunes makes it so easy.
Exactly. They are. Anyway.
Okay. So the second thing is we're doing the advice show, obviously, this month. But if you have questions you'd like us to chime in on, then email us, please, at advice@tatalksex.com or any other comment about some of the other shows that have been going on.
Allows us to chat with you about it and get all those thoughts and issues out there.
Yes. So with that,
Our first question.
Okay. One second. Let me pull it up. Okay. This one's a doozy. Okay. I recently had sex with a new partner and I felt pain. I asked him to readjust and he did, but it was still uncomfortable. This has happened to me in the past with other partners, but not always. It could have been the condom. It could have been his size, or maybe I wasn't wet enough. I know I'm small there.
Go ahead.
Sorry, this is sort of, do you have any advice on what positions might help or be more comfortable or what might be going on? I know this sounds kind of weird, but any help or insight would be great. Okay, not weird, actually.
Not weird, no.
I've had pain during sex.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've had a couple reasons for it. Actually,
I have a crazy story too.
Oh, good. We love crazy stories.
Those are fun.
I feel like I can think of like two reasons that I've experienced pain.
Yeah, I can think of one.
Yeah. Well, there's main one, and then there's, well, one of them, I ended up going to the doctor, and it was like, oh, I have a cyst. Okay, so when he hits a certain angle, and sometimes when I'm ovulating, it's a little sensitive.
Now, wait, when you have the cyst, or just in general?
When I'm ovulating, I think the cyst is more inflamed.
Oh, you still have the cyst?
I think so. It's hard to know. I had it checked out. I was told I had one there.
They didn't obviously do surgery.
No, because it was very small.
Okay.
But then the doctor said take some birth control to shrink it. I did that for a little while. I didn't like how it affected my hormonal changes in my body.
Right,
I got off of it.
Right.
And I didn't really have the issue anymore. It did not.
So maybe it did shrink. Okay. So you don't really know. Interesting.
Yeah. But the other.
I know a little bit more about you every day.
Yeah, I know. My cyst situation.
Well, I knew this. I just didn't know if it was still there. Okay. So that's one reason.
Yeah. So sure. That's like, kind of like, okay, maybe there's something medical. Make sure you check that out. But
she went to her doctor.
Right. Yeah, okay. She said that. Mm-hmm. My larger issue, and I have had kind of over time with different lovers, mm-hmm. things will come up and I'm like, oh, that's different. Or like, well, that, I feel tenderness there. Or I'm tensing and I'm not able to like relax with this partner. Mm-hmm. Or that angle is difficult. And I find it ends up being tied to a more emotional, complex issue.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
I shouldn't even
say
complex, just an emotional issue. And also that my
like
body is...
a psychosomatic.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like a psychosomatic
and
thing.
And emotional.
And I think women have a stronger intuition than men, and we haven't been taught to tap into that as much. But like what I'm saying is... Actually, I don't want to generalize. I'm sure men are psychosomatic too. What I'm saying is I think that our bodies as women, what I've found is like my body's telling me something very clearly. And if I don't listen to it.
Yes, exactly.
It's going to exacerbate. It's not going to go away. It's going to cause
other issues.
And
it's so funny because I've had these experiences too, you know, where I've had painful sex and then I'll hear myself rational. Actually, very much like this letter.
Yeah.
And I'll hear myself rational. And you even, T, you nailed me on this. You're like, you're never having sex with him again after I told you the story. And I'm like, really?
Oh, well, you have to tell the story.
I will tell the story. Okay, yeah. So it was with... it was with my ex of 4 years and no, we were together for 4 years and this was at, I don't know, in the midst of our relationship, toward the end, I suppose.
Well, but like a crossroads. I feel like you were already having conflict.
We were already, yes, we were deciding. It was like,
are we gonna
I
stay
was
together?
Deciding.
Aren't we?
And what was more my decision, but it was like, do I want to be with this person or not was the question
right.
in the
right.
air.
Yeah.
And so it was a weekend with him and we lived in different cities and everything. So I was spending time at his place and we had sex. And I went to the, it was in the morning. Okay, right. It was in the morning. So I hadn't peed yet, right? And uh-huh. I don't like to have sex when I have to pee, even though 50 Shades of Grey said it major.
Actually, I like it.
I can't, it's hard for, I can't orgasm.
Oh, so interesting.
Even when I masturbate. Anyway.
Sometimes it intensifies my orgasm.
I hear that, but I've never experienced that.
We're
anyway.
All different. Got to do what's best for you.
So, I wasn't bursting to pee and I was like, okay, well, I can have sex. It was just the bathroom was downstairs. It was like, I don't want to, you know, and I just wanted to have sex. So we had sex and then I get up and I go to the bathroom and I go down and I'm peeing. And then all of a sudden I'm on the toilet and literally like my body just seizes up with cramps, like in my like uterine area. And I'm like you guys like I have a high tolerance for pain and this was
like scary.
This was like the demon was coming out of my belly and I like literally looked down to see if I was gushing blood. Nothing.
Wow.
Literally I fell to the floor and I could not walk and this was kept going on for quite a while and I literally had to crawl back to the staircase to get upstairs and I literally had to lay down on the floor in the bathroom just wait because
yeah.
I couldn't go anywhere. It was the most bizarre thing,
right?
And and I'm like, well, maybe
what
it's because
this?
Maybe it's because I had to pee, you know, and like, you know how
right,
when you have to pee you cramp sometimes if you've been holding it for a long time. So I came
yeah.
home and I tell T this story.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm already ready to like repeat the spiel.
She was like, she was so mad. She's like, you are not going to be with that man. You are never having sex with him again. This was
Look,
so
I've
funny.
I've been
it was
holding
so
my
sweet.
Tongue a little bit as a friend because you're like, how forward am I? I mean, yes, you've got to figure things out. You're on the swing. So I was like hesitating. I said,
oh, no,
okay.
No, be forward.
Yeah, I was like, that is a clear signal that I feel entitled to now assert as a friend, like, like this is the sign.
Right.
Like your body is now rebelling.
Right.
And right. You could go, oh, it's setting to pee. But here's the thing. You have a history of having sex. And have you ever had to pee before and you didn't right away? And
sure.
then you go and like,
sure.
Right. But your body did not react that way.
I know. And but, you know, OK, so regarding her situation, it's like. Is it that, you know, like,
right.
is it you? It's so hard because I like even still in my head, I'm like, well,
you
like,
want to justify
you
it.
Totally want to justify it. And there you can think of any scientific reason why
yeah.
that pain is there for sure. But
can I say
I totally agree with you. And I'm definitely much more on the side that I feel like almost all illnesses are related to our emotional or psycho state.
Yeah, and stress. I think even a lot is tied to our nervous systems in ways that I've only learned over time. Yeah. I've talked about this before, but I read this book, The Highly Sensitive Person, which I am. And only now am I so aware that that's me. And I'm able to now manage it. And mm-hmm. by manage, it's like, it's not a problem. It's just knowing like when you're maxed out, knowing that like the stress, these are stressors that affect my nervous system. And you become very aware of it. And it's like, I think that sexuality is tied to that too. And so what I want to say is, I mentioned the cyst issue, right? By the way, mm-hmm. to be honest, it also happened while I was having sex with a partner where we had issues in the past. Mm-hmm. There were things that we'd kind of gotten over. So I thought we were fine. But then we went on this trip and maybe there were some things bothering me. And then all of a sudden it was like stabbing pain during sex. Mm-hmm. And then I went to the bathroom and I tried to like sit on the toilet, and even that like caused like shooting pain into like my hip area, like my pelvic area. And I was like, holy fuck. and then I was, oh, okay, I would go to the doctor. I'm like researching. I thought maybe I had like vaginosis. Like there's these things online that they're saying it is. And he's kind of, I'm asking him to kind of tell me, do I smell differently? Because it's saying it's a, and he was like, no, he's so upset emotionally. He's like not sure what he did. He thinks he hurt me.
Right.
Right. And it's like, so then I felt this burden to make him feel better as well.
Right.
And it's complicated. It was, but I go to the doctor. They go, okay, you have this cyst. They put me on the break. In hindsight, I was having problems with him and not necessarily his fault. I wasn't speaking my mind and I wasn't right. asserting myself enough. And so I was sublimating a lot of emotional thoughts. And when I sublimate, it goes into the nervous system. And then it causes impact in my body, right? So
yeah.
So it manifested there through the sex,
right,
because
yes,
that's where yeah. I'm most directly connecting with my partner.
Right, right. And I think it's important to point out, because I've had both experiences where, you know, it's like, okay, is it because this is the wrong partner for me? In like right. what was coming up in my situation where, you know, maybe it was an indicator of that. My body was telling me no, like. You may be confused, but I know.
Okay. Yeah, we're ready to roll.
It could be that, maybe, you know, but not necessarily. There's other times when I've had, you know, a lot of discomfort during sex or yeast infection or different things that I right, felt for sure were linked more with my own relationship to sex or sexuality or
that's
why.
True.
Like a lot of times, for example, I was, you know, when I was a lot younger, I was, and this, I think this has always been a thing for me because I've came with this thing about like having sex sort of like pleasing, you know, this whole thing about, oh, uh-huh. you're, you know, you're there to please the guy and he's aroused, so you should be aroused too, that kind of a thing. And so I would oftentimes have sex when I was sort of lukewarm about having sex. Mm. And that was consistently causing
yeast infection.
Like, yeah. And not
that's,
even,
I think that's a big one.
And it was stuff that the doctors couldn't even really
right,
understand.
They're like, you're fine.
Yeah, and I'm like, no,
pills.
I'm not fine.
Yeah.
But once I really got a lockdown on that's what this psychological issue was that was going on, then, you know, all magically it shifts and
yeah.
I don't have that problem anymore, you know?
Same.
So it could be related more to your own relationship to a dynamic that's going on in the relationship or your relationship to sex.
Right, right. Well, and I also think, I just want to touch on, I recently had a sexual exchange.
exchange.
I had a sexual interaction, a little
encounter.
Penetration.
A liaison.
well, you know, I haven't had like a discomfort issue in a while because I normally speak my mind, you know, I think for the better and it prevents me from getting in my head and I usually orgasm and all these things. So... excuse me. I spoke, I wasn't as forward. It's maybe because it's a new lover. So I was a little more insecure about asserting myself, but, we kind of didn't have enough foreplay to warm me up. I talked about it on Dave Neal's
yeah,
show.
This
Sex
is the
Actually.
Next thing I
yeah.
was going to say. Yeah.
And so because I was nervous, I didn't really go, no, I'm not ready for penetration yet. I need more like loving from you. You know, I need more like rub down. So I let him, you know, enter and it does feel good. Like, it feels good. It feels great to have a beautiful penis fill me up.
But it can also be too much too soon.
Yes, it's too much too soon. And I kind of kept saying, like, there were moments where I'd go, oh my God, it's overwhelming. It's too right. intense. Like, I was using the word too intense.
Yeah.
And so we would, like, change positions. And then he would start. And I was like, okay, that's so overwhelming. Like,
right.
And for me, it was like, we had had sex once before where that wasn't an issue because I'd gotten
you
warmed
were
up.
Hot and bothered. And
exactly. And then steamy. I'm expanded and relaxed, and the literal muscles internally are relaxed
right.
in a way that I can handle a bigger
more intensity.
Penis. Yeah, anything, right? A bigger, even if it's not bigger.
It's
penis,
amazing what your body can do when you're highly aroused.
A lot. I mean, this goes into where we explored
and amazing what you can't
BDSM.
Do when you're not.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and we had an incident with, like, I mean, speaking openly, there was sort of I performed oral sex, and we've talked on shows where, like, I've enjoyed, like, a deep throating experience. Mm-hmm. Usually he's also stimulating my clitoris or my, right, or he's like down on me at the same time. And then you can deep throat more effectively because your whole body is, like, so stimulated that muscles relax. Right. So I feel like that's like the key. So let me say, I'm in this moment with this guy having sex. I'm going, oh, that's, like, too intense. And I could feel my muscles tensing vaginally, like, during it, because I was like, oh, not ready. So I just, when I hear, this girl write in, or this woman write in about it, I'm going, you're probably not warmed up enough. And it's probably coming from, again, not on the man. I mean, is he giving you what you need, but making sure that you assert.
But does he know that you,
exactly,
what you
making
need.
Sure you assert your voice, which is not being pushy, but saying, hey, I really need to be warmed up more to really get, open up for you or whatever.
And if that's the case, like, I've just on that note, and I think we were talking about this recently too, where say it again. I think a lot of times guys will need to hear it a couple times because they
especially
keep getting
hot and bothered.
Yeah,
in the
they keep getting excited, and they just, like, keep, they just go, and it's not don't get, it's easy to get. And I think it's easy to take it personally and be like, he's disrespecting me and ignoring me. It's like, well, no, it's just it
or
takes a bit
vulnerable.
Of.
It takes courage to speak up.
Yes. Yes, it does. But I mean, it's not necessarily anything personal from them. It's not him disrespecting you. It's just, keep in mind that this does take mind training, I think, for the guys. And so it may take a few times of saying, hey, slow down. Hey, slow down.
Well, and explaining
why.
It,
yeah. Would be. Would,
well, and right. I, yeah, like, I try to do that, which is, it's like, oh, I'm not telling you no. I just
need more.
Yeah, I'm going to come more easily from this. Or you're big. But you're on the bigger side. And if you take your time, or we're using a condom, so the more warmed up I am.
Right, but I think also that's such a subjective scale. Like, how much more warming up do you need, Uh-huh. And so a lot of times we'll go on and they'll warm me up for a little bit more. And it's like, I mean, think about it from their perspective. They have no context of what.
They're like, is she
like,
turned on
okay,
the
is that
is
enough?
The oven, is the oven warm?
Is it big? Right, like, ding. It's like.
Well, by the way, so, we've talked about this on other shows. Wait for the girl to go.
Beg.
Yeah, the woman to bet or go. Oh, basically, go inside, or I want you inside. Right.
Right. And woman is your responsibility to be honest.
But to be. Yes. But by the way, the honesty almost comes organically. Like, I've been with guys where I'm like, why isn't he inside me yet? And then you finally say it, or you start navigating his penis towards your genital because you're like, you want him inside of you.
But yes, and not because not to please him or to because you think that's what he wants.
Because you're like,
because you.
So I think, and then that's a good sign when you get her to do that, so I think keeping that in mind, because I think you're right, it's like, how does the guy know? Well, keep warming up until she's like, let's do this,
let's do this why aren't you?
All right, we're gonna take a mini break,
okay, and then we'll come back with question number two.
You're listening to TNA Talk Sex. Write us at advice@tatalksex.com to send in your own questions or thoughts, and write us a review on iTunes if you are listening with your iPhone.
Welcome back. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex.
I'm T.
And I'm A. And this is our monthly advice show. And we're ready for question number two.
Can a relationship survive without sex? Okay, there's more. Let's unpack that a little. As someone who is exposed to social media, I see that many people emphasize sex as a sign of love. They seem to be saying a happy marriage cannot survive without sex. My parents do not have sex and are distant with each other. They have issues between them. I'd like to know if a happy relationship can survive abstinence from sex. I don't want to have sex until I'm married. Long-term relationships are not an exception, but guys expect the girls they date to have sex with them. Can you help me with this?
I mean, first of all, I feel a relationship can survive without sex. Have I tested this to the max? No.
No, right. You know what comes...
But I will say, and I'm a little afraid to admit this, but I do feel like I've had these inclinations lately where I'm like, I could totally survive without sex. Like, if I had the intimacy and the connection, maybe because I'm dating an older man and this comes up quite frequently, like, well, what are you going to do when you can't perform anymore? And I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Like, wait, you mean that comes up, friends say that to you?
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, that's the first question. It's their first fucking question is like, well, because he's 59. It's like, well, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I don't know what cross that bridge when we get there, but... Well,
by the way, one of my exes, his parents, big age difference, 20 years, his father now has some issues with sexual function, and his wife does have
a lover.
Sexual lovers.
Yeah, yeah, and we sort of joke about together. That, you know, and right now he's like, no, I'm not okay with you going
yeah,
around
ready to pass
with
you
another.
Off.
But I do feel I'm like, I honestly, I'm so like, I'm such an intimacy and connection person that I feel like over the decades, how long have I been sexually active? A decade and some change. I feel like, yeah, I feel like I'm reaching a point where I definitely feel like I could exist
right.
without sex.
Well,
penetration, you know,
I was about
there's
to say,
so
by
many
the way.
Different ways to have to make this connection.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, the more I discover like arousal and orgasmic pleasure without penis penetration necessarily, right? I mean, this is what we talk about constantly is like female arousal. I mean, when we had Sherry Winston on talking about, you know, the anatomy of arousal with women, it's like, you know, you can escalate her arousal so much and without penetration, right? With stimulating the body.
Right.
But anyway, I want to say that something that comes to mind for me is actually our issue culturally, which is like, I talk with friends who, you know, I went on a date recently and my friend's like, okay, you have to establish that you want him to treat you a certain way. So don't have sex right away. Right. Like this idea of, you know, he needs to earn it and you don't want to like kind of blow it right away. To be honest, I usually trust my instinct and how I'm feeling. So if I want to have sex, I'm going to do it. And it's because we're connecting and da, da. Now, am I missing the tease which can elevate, you know,
seduction.
I've experienced that too. But again, I let it kind of happen organically. I'm not going, I need to calculate this. But my point is, my friend sometimes feels frustrated. Like she tries to resist having sex, right? She goes, I'm not going to have sex on this date, but she does because.
But it sounds like she's doing it more out of like some sort of social convention that it's like bad to do it.
Yes. Yes.
Early.
But what I want to say is if you don't want to have sex, I feel like our culture does not have enough intimacy and physical touch in a daily way.
Right.
Just as is non-sexual, like just touching and affection and back massages and right. Like we're like
non-sexual touching.
Right. Or yeah. Like when we were monkeys and we, you know, monkeys pick at each other's hair and all this stuff. I was just visiting my family and my sister, you know, kind of went over my back to kind of make sure it was clean. And then, you know, I ended up giving her a back rub and it was like so nice to just be home with the family. You know, my mom pets my hair a lot, you know, like strokes it. And it was like, you know, no mystery on why that's a big deal for me sexually now as an adult. Like I need my head rubbed. But interestingly, a way that I know I'm being loved, right? Because right. That's how I learned love as a child. But the more I think if I'm if friends are showing each other affection, that kind of thing, you're less desperate and hungry when you go on this date. Because in our culture, we're so like
starved.
Romantic. Yeah, we're starved and we're going, this romantic partner is going to provide that physical pleasure that I need. And I think we've strayed from the idea that our bodies as human beings actually thrive and are more healthy from contact.
Yeah.
And so when I read this, I go, well, yeah, people like lose control, if you will, or get seduced because they're like, oh, my God, I haven't been touched in so long. I haven't masturbated. I haven't, you know, whatever it is, I'm going to fall into this person.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
when maybe you're not ready.
Yes. Yeah. And I hear you and I echo what you're saying, T. And I think for sure there's a lack of touch. And just, yeah, like non-sexual touch in our culture. But I almost, and this comes up with, you know, came up with clients. I feel like there's also a massive intimacy lack. Or rather, what would I say? There's a lack of, like breadth. Breadth is, no, depth. Breadth, mm. Yeah. There's no dynamic... What am I trying to say? I have a specific example. It's like intimacy. The only way I find this a lot in conversation, that the only way the intimacy is showing up in my clients' lives where they're married and whatnot is literally only through sex.
Like there they is climb no, into bed before going to sleep. And
right.
They're like,
there's
okay,
no
now we fuck.
Like there's like no. Touching
throughout the day,
no kissing, no, not even small moments of conversation between partner and partner. It's all about the kids. It's all about, you know what I mean? It's like, so there's no, an intimacy to me has, it doesn't have to do with anything about sex even. It's just two people being open and vulnerable in a moment. And if your life is surrounded with doing and crossing things off lists and just running after kids and everything, obviously you lose sight. There's not a lot of moments or opportunities for that to happen and blah, blah, blah. So then you end up in my room. I'm just saying that like it's something that I've observed over the years having talking with my clients and interviewing them. It's like
having mindfulness about
it's just. And I don't know if it's also just a cultural thing where like everyone seems to be okay with this. And I came from a family where my mother was very, very, my parents were very intimate together. There was lots of love.
I would even call it like demonstrative love. Like,
yes.
Like
yeah.
A physical touching, like you're concretely reaching out.
But again, to get it out of touch, yes, okay, touch okay. is part of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also like my parents would lock themselves away every Saturday and Sunday morning and just talk. You know,
yeah. Well,
and,
I mean, they might have been touching.
I'm sure there was other stuff going on too, but it wasn't like, honestly, like if I went in there as a kid, if I like was able to get myself in, they were just in their, you know, chairs,
right,
having
right.
sharing a pot of coffee and just talking
so nice.
For hours, you
well,
know, just spending time
way,
together.
The same way we talk about meditation, it's like taking that time. And it's true, you can't fake it. You can't force it into little. You know, it's like you have to say, I'm setting this time aside. I was just chatting right. with a guy who, a fellow comic. I met him at the Comedy Store. We're chatting and he said, you know, he goes, well, I'm, you know, I have a job and I'm in a relationship and, you know, that requires time. So, you know, I'm not always free to like do all of the mics.
Right.
And I was like, oh, what maturity. You know, that idea of like, you have to acknowledge kind of the, if your life is a pie and you make these like slices,
yeah.
where am I
where
putting enough time in
energy?
This?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I see it a lot here. And so the question being, can a relationship survive without sex? I think if you have these other things in place, if you spend time developing the connection and create room for intimacy to happen through touch in other ways, through conversation, through really being open with your partner, it creates such like a deep fabric.
Yeah.
You know, that is so strong that... you know, and that's
that a relationship can
survive
exist.
Without.
Right. That said, when I hear it, I immediately kind of go, okay, but, and this is kind of what our show is about, is almost like dispelling the taboo around like the act of sex. And it's like, you know, more and more I'm like, well, sex is sort of a pinnacle connection of between two people, once like mind and emotions and all these things are aligned and you're like, now I want to share my body. There are other types. I mean, I was just sharing with you, you know, my kind of like spring
when you
fling.
Just want to share the body.
Yeah, I had a spring fling where I was like, I don't even like talking to this person, but I feel such magnetism. I mean, I know a friend repeated back to me. Apparently, I don't remember this. Apparently I said, oh, can't stand anything that comes out of his mouth. But I kept, and I was like, ooh, that's harsh. But I was, he had an experiential quality where I was like, I love his company. I love like his
some
free
aspect of.
Yeah. And it was like, okay, not my marriage partner, but he's sort of a spring fling.
Right.
But that's not what this question is. This question is like, okay, you know, can it survive, you know, not having sex? And this goes back to almost like these hard lines, like I'm not having sex till marriage.
Right.
And then I go, a little part of me twists. I think there's power in sexual connection, but I don't think you have to go straight for that. That's sort of like straight for the jugular. It's like build the connection, and when, you know, you want to explore that, you can together.
I mean, who knows why this person has chosen to abstain until marriage. I feel more and more as we go along this journey, I find more and more the value in waiting, to be honest. And sometimes I often wonder to myself, I'm like, wow, I feel like the more I know myself, the more I know the more I know when I meet someone whether or not we're right for each other. And so perhaps this whole thing has just been a journey of me getting to know myself. And had I maybe been educated on how to get to know myself better as a kid, I wouldn't have spent my adult life trying to figure that shit out, you know, and then I wouldn't have had to sleep with all these people.
Projecting at relationships that weren't working and building a bond through the sex. And
right. So who knows? That's a whole different conversation about how to raise kids. But my point being that all I wanted to say was that, you know, there's my only warning would be to really look at what's making you make that hard line in the sand. And if it's just attaching on to some belief that's blind.
Yeah. Like if it's right. If it's not sort of born out of your own organic choice. I mean, because that's the other thing is we're going to take a break soon. I just want to say that like I wouldn't. My point about waiting, my point about us not having enough physical touch in life is, like I said, then you're like on this date and it's hard to resist and you don't maybe spend the time to get to know someone because you haven't had enough physical affection in your daily life to abstain from the almost like
you don't
have
forbidden control.
Fruit. Right. Yeah. Like you're literally tempted.
You're like
and
a kid
hungry.
In a candy store.
Yeah. A kid in a candy store. Or
like starved.
Yeah. Or like, you know, you've arrived at a watering hole after you've trekked through the desert. You know? And you're like, oh,
I totally agree.
Touch.
You know, and at the same time, as there's this deprivation, there's also social media and marketing and all this stuff,
saying,
which is so hypersexualized. So you're constantly walking around aroused in this like, you know, hypo space.
So could waiting to get to know someone and decide if you're a good match before you make that bond be good? I've also very much enjoyed times where I'm but again, knowing that you're just going to have sex, you know. But
oh, man, I totally had something I needed to say.
You did?
Oh, it was good.
Oh, about
why don't
we take a little break?
We're gonna take a break. If
I
remember,
come back.
I remember.
About, you know, can it survive not having sex? Look, okay. Take a break. I just, surviving a relationship without sex. I mean, this writer, the person who wrote, you know, the comment is definitely about like how to start a relationship without sex, right?
How to start a relationship.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah. Okay. This is what I wanted to say is that in the, go ahead.
I just want to say, which is different from say the couple I mentioned, my ex's parents who like they've been together for a really long time.
Right.
And now they're not having sex, but not because they don't love each other.
Right.
And yes, I think that can definitely be sustained. And then it's just sort of two different sides of like, so to talk about how to start a relationship without sex.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, like, to be honest, I feel like in the modern world, I think it's quite difficult to find someone. It takes such maturity, I think, and to find someone who's not starved or who has the self-awareness and the discipline and the patience, really, and self-mastery, it's probably few and far between. Sad to say, but true. So I think it's going to be, I honestly think it's definitely would be a challenge, but that doesn't mean it's not impossible. And speak your mind. And if that's what you want, wait.
Well, and speak your mind and you will find the person who's willing to rise to that. I mean, I had a conversation with a female friend who for a while was sort of, you know, fucking around, dating, whatever. And then she realized she wanted a relationship, right? And didn't want to continue attracting those types of men or people, you know, whatever your choices are. So she, you know, she finally, like, she was on a date with this guy that she liked, and she said, look, I want you to know I'm looking for a more serious commitment. So if we're going to date, I want you to be serious about building something with me.
Right.
So, you know, let me know if you're not into that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And by saying that, she was like, you know, he stepped up. She's like, you know, men want the opportunity to step up.
If they're ready for it, yeah.
Yeah, if they're ready, and maybe they need that call to action, you know? So I think it's great to own it if that's your situation. I think, I think being hardwired versus having a discussion and really understanding why you're making that choice, you know, you can find a partner. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I mentioned a family member also. She was very much not into having sex early on and meeting men that, you know, really push for that or come on strong in the first few dates, and that was a big turnoff for her.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she waited. She's dating someone now. She's in a, you know,
not because she had a rule of abstinence. It was just she wanted to really know someone.
Yeah, and really feel safe and feel connected. And it took her more time to build that safe connection.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think we do have sex too fast. To be honest, like I do. I'm totally on this. Like, I don't know if it's a kick or what, but
we're going to take a break, and I think we can talk about that. We can bring it back. All right. TNA Talk Sex. Write us advice at TNATalkSex.com. Write the review on iTunes. We'll be right back. We're back with TNA Talk Sex. I'm T.
And I'm A. And just to put a bow on that last little
bit. On your little, like, you should wait.
Wait to have sex. No, that we have sex too soon. Here's how I see it, okay? How many times does it come up on the show that women aren't orgasming, that men go too fast, and that we don't have enough seduction and culture? Yeah. You know how to fix all of that? You wait, and you don't have sex so fucking fast.
So,
and then
all right.
You have men who are, you have seduction going on between both parties.
Mm-hmm.
You have this whole, you know, you get to know each other. There's more connection. The man's being the sun and opening the woman up, and then she's able to orgasm. And look, all these problems are solved.
It's true, by the way. You're right. Look, when the times that I've...
I'm not slut shaming, by the way. It's just...
Right. The times
let's
that
be
I've...
sluts. But
the,
like,
times I've been forced to wait because I traveled right after meeting someone or something.
Involuntary waiting.
Yeah. It does seem to build the tension, and then naughty texts are exchanged and all this good stuff. Look, that said, some of my deepest relationships, I can think of two men. We had sex pretty quick, and it was so deep and connected.
Hey,
and, like,
I'm not saying that deep and connection can't happen by having sex first thing.
But you're right. You could be disappointed because let's admit, like, sex is such a
vulnerable act.
I'm
just saying maybe we could have
act.
Better sex.
Yeah. No, and you're right.
And a deeper connection when we,
because,
you know, when
it's
we
vulnerable.
First have sex with someone.
Well, because it's vulnerable and you're having to open up to each other when you don't know each other, you don't know what your limits are. So, for example, like, I had sex with this guy and I'm like, you know, it turns out he kind of has, like, mild germophobia. He kind of has, he's like, you know, like, the saliva makes him feel dirty. Like, all these, like, little things where I'm going, what? This isn't primal. I want you to, like, put my feet in your mouth. Like, how is this going to work, right? We'll talk about a collision that maybe if we'd taken more time to get to know each other.
You would have been like, this isn't going to happen. Peace.
Maybe we're not a match. Or maybe because
maybe you would have sterilized yourself before you climbed into bed.
Yeah. Or maybe because we got to know each other, he could have expressed it and he would feel safer and feel like I'm not dirty because he knows me. He's
there
not afraid of me.
Exactly. So many possibilities.
Yeah, but
anyway,
I love when immediate sex is amazing too, though.
For sure. But I just feel like it's like, honestly, more rare, than not.
Well, you're,
you know,
opening yourself up to that risk of it not being good.
Yeah.
But if you are going to open yourself up to the risk, be prepared to assert what you need and want.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Like I admitted on Dave Neal's show, I was like, you know, I didn't go, wait, I'm not ready. You know, when I had that sort of mediocre experience.
Okay. So moving on to question number three. It's actually not a question. It's a comment from a listener who is a beautiful man in New York City.
Yeah.
Meandering the streets of New York City. And, so T, you have it in front of you, but yeah, he wrote in about the show that we did about how to be a gentleman in the modern day.
Yeah. So, well, we wanted to read some of his comments, right? And then we were going to talk more about,
because he brought up some interesting points about dating and finances and how he has successfully maneuvered that.
Yes. But before that, we wanted to just touch on, so he listened to our show, How to Be a Gentleman in the Age of Equality. And I liked his comments just about, am I going the wrong way?
No, go.
So, you know, I like to take a moment of just, you know, thanking our listeners for writing in. And he had such interesting, you know, positive experiences with like what chivalry means. And so I'm just going to read a little tidbit about it. And he said, in general, on the chivalrous side of things, chivalry was ridiculed out of me by my feminist female friends back in the 80s. So I've been treating women as my equal, which they are for many years now. But it's been met with some hostility, maybe. For example, if I offer to help a woman, it's not because of what's inside her pants. It's because I care about her and I'm kind-natured. But when this kindness is often met with, I can do this myself very well, many of us men start to withdraw with help. Chivalry or not, kindness is kindness. I hope we as people can start taking gender out of the equation and take it at face value. This way, I believe many men will do it more often.
Amen.
Yeah. And this, I feel like that speaks big thing to Stuart's statement in that episode, one of our guests.
Yes. And the general tone of the show.
Yeah. But you started talking about, he mentioned something that did bring up a topic we wanted to discuss. About the financial side of being a gentleman and where is that line? So he writes, shall I read it?
Yeah.
Okay. On the financial side of being a gentleman, I have to say that up till recently, I found casual dating to be a real drain on my finances. Obviously, this is a burden that falls on men. I was amazed at how many feminist-minded women still expected me to, say, pick up the tab at the end of a date. I've done this so often it's gotten beyond a joke now. I know it's not cool to talk about one's financial standing early on in dating, but recently I've decided to just do that. And guess what? I recently met a woman who earns substantially more than I do. So I did broach the subject before we even met. She's in... Shall I read what kind of work she does?
No.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't matter what work she's in, but
money.
She makes more money.
And she earns approximately 5 times my salary. I'm elated to say, so far so good. When I asked her why a woman of her economic standing would be into a guy like me, she said it's not about the money, it's about the person and the connection. Wow, we treat each other related to our budgets. Holla freaking Luya. I've been waiting to hear that for years. I kind of loved this comment. And I think for me, it brought up this issue where I go, if I'm honest about my dates, like I go on these dates and if a man invites me to dinner, like I like it when he pays in the beginning, but then I go, and I remember an ex once sort of, we were having like this gender conversation and he got annoyed. He's like, you know, I do the courting and da da da, and you know, and then maybe we have sex and right. And
oh God.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. Well, here's the thing is, it's true. If you take me to dinner, I'm not necessarily more excited about you, right? But I've been on dates where maybe the guy creatively didn't spend any money, but I didn't even notice it because we were doing something fun, right? So is it like, you know, we're in LA, right? But did we go to the beach and he brought a bottle of wine with a blanket, right? So a bottle of wine's nothing,
right?
Or, you know, it's cheap. You can buy a cheap bottle.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just like just fun activities, or sometimes even going for walks, or like, I don't know, just ways
it's
that
the
you
intention.
Get, yeah, ways that you get to know each other and even attention to the intent, like what are you,
right,
you know, like, you're getting to know me.
Sure. I will point out though that our perspective on this is, you know, you're a mature, self-aware, generous and thoughtful person.
I try
as
to
am
be.
I we try our best to be. I have had sort of round tables arguments / discussions. Actually, I did not participate. I just listened. I was appalled about with groups of of single people who...
Can I say, I think yes. specifically you were talking with African-American men.
Yeah. At the time. No, but this has happened around... No, but it's happened around.
Okay, yeah.
But that conversation was. But it. I've heard it often where... And I've actually talked to girls, too,
yeah.
who are... Here's the thing.
You're right. I have talked with women who are like, he better pay for me.
Well, not only that, if that's the expectation thing, but it's the disrespect. Like, you get these guys, like you're the guy you were talking about that you were dating, your partner, whatever, who was like, I got to do the courting. I got to do this. I got to do this. It's not even going to lead to sex.
He feels unappreciated and resentful.
Right. But you know what? But there's so many women out there who are just taking advantage. And, like, mm-hmm. literally, like the assistant to my stylist was like... She's like, I'm like, oh, how's your dating life? She's like, oh, it's great. I'm just, you know, having all these free meals. I'm basically eating. And
I hate when I hear that. It really makes me cringe.
But it's, you know, and these poor guys. So when you, so no wonder they have this attitude of like, well, why am I supposed to foot the bill? And I'm not even getting sex out of it. So we go, you little pig. And it's well, okay. I'm not saying you should get sex out of it, but it's like, okay, fine. Right. Don't say yes to a date if you're not even interested in getting to know me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, If the ladies are going to be disrespectful, then there's going to be this cycle of disrespect happening.
And by the way, I think that there's been like a lost intention in dating, which is I've said yes to men going on a date thinking, look, I'm not super into you off the bat. Like, I'm not like, wow, this is a guy I want to fuck. But I'm like, well, there's something interesting about him.
Right. So maybe there's something there.
Maybe he'll win me over. So I say yes to the date. Now, resentments have come up where I'm like, great, I'm on this date. And then I discover I'm not so into him. And he's like, I fucking paid for you. You know, and you're like, yeah, no, but really. And I'm like, well, I was still feeling it out. But this brings
me
to...
Wait, really? After one date?
Whatever. Maybe it's a couple dates. But I ultimately am like, I really tried. I'm not into you. Or we had a kiss. I did the kiss to test it. I'm not into you.
Right.
And it's, I mean, God, that's frustrating. Like, I've been on the receiving end of it, too. I think people forget that. Like, they think as a woman, I'm like, I do what I want. And it's like, no, I'm having heartache, too. You know, I've been rejected.
But did you pay for it?
Touche. Touche. I have to say that is, I can't stop laughing. That's a really good point. No. So I could see how that would be doubly painful. but this is my point, which is like, if it's in the first three dates, unless you are very wealthy, I mean, I recently went out with a guy who is very well off. He likes nice dinners. He's going to go to that nice dinner, whether I'm there or not. That's my feeling. Mm-hmm. So when we order cognac at the end of the meal and it's $20 a pop, right? Like it's a non-issue.
Right.
So he's not going to resent me for that meal.
Right.
So I think if you're getting to know each other and you're generally courting someone to date them, and there is, of course, you want to impress someone, you're excited about them, but I don't think doing it through money is going to be the best investment of your time if you're looking to really connect and or get sex or whatever it is. And those early dates are kind of what we were just talking about, like getting to know each other before you fuck to make sure you're a good match.
Right.
So you know, yeah. I love going to, you know, you go have drinks, or if you're on an earlier evening date, it could, you know, you end up having lemonade instead of alcohol, or, you know, like I went to like one of the movie screenings in the Hollywood Cemetery with someone once, and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, so that's a lawn chair and, you
it's
know,
totally
cherries
free, very
and
romantic
popcorn.
And wonderful. Yeah.
Well, bring some snacks.
Right. Know, right. But, right. But and more to what he was saying, which I mean, I think for him, it just sounded like he was like, oh, my God, I found a woman who's like not afraid to have this conversation and who's also not intimidated or not intimidated, but not bothered by the fact that she makes more money than me and that I have to stay within my budget. And so he's right in that that's a very mature dynamic where they're like, listen, let's just date within our budget. You know, like he's going to take her to coffee.
Well, I will say he mentioned
dates and she's going to take him to fancy dinners or, you know.
Right.
And
I
think that's the mature way to go about it.
It's great. But I do want to mention, I think he did mention he's on the older side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as you get older, and what I'm finding as I get older, it's like I've had more life experience. So I'm able to be more direct confidently.
Right.
And I think that earlier on, you kind of go, well, he didn't pay for me. Does that mean he's not into me? And, you know, like all these, because you have a lot of stereotypes of what dating's supposed to be.
Right.
So I guess I want to mention that. Like, I remember in college, a college student buying me pizza, and it's like $2. And I actually was so, like, moved by it, because I know he's a student, too.
Right.
And my friends made fun of me. I was like, he bought me pizza. And one of my friends, I remember snapping, like, pizza's $2. Okay, that was not a, like a big gesture. And I was like, okay, no, but it's an overture.
Right.
It's him saying I'm interested in you and I'm...
Or not even, it could just be him being kind. That's true. You know?
That's true. Well, I'm enjoying your company and I want to have this conversation continue. Let me treat you.
But,
we're getting back to you don't have to treat me. I mean,
I mean, is that really what he's thinking? Like, per our conversation
was
about
he
being
like,
gentlemanly.
I'm gonna give you pizza because get sex.
No, because what you said was, I'm into you and I like you and I want to see this continue. So, therefore, I will buy you pizza because if I buy you something, then it will continue. It's like, well, no, but why can't it just be like, I like you and I want to be kind to you? Like,
Sorry, yes. And I think that's what I meant to say. I hope it didn't come off. What I mean is, It was one way.
A kind gesture.
Yes, it was one form of kind gesture to indicate I'm listening and I'm present and I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
And also pointing out that it was not a large sum of money.
Right.
Right. It's like we're at the bodega and you go, let me get your lemonade. You know, right. Or let me get your
juice. And that's what our listener is saying, too, is that like, you know, yeah, he didn't mention the coffee date, but let's just superimpose that onto their relationship so we can have a legitimate example. But yeah, I mean, like, it's all about the intention.
Well, and the same way you'll go out with a friend and you go, let me get this tab because I'm enjoying our company and you're going to get it next time, you know, and you have like the back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take a mini break, but I have a little story I want to share after.
Okay, sounds good.
Little break. Okay, we'll be right back. Guys, advice@tatalksex.com. You can write us about shows you've listened to, thoughts you've had.
Or questions for our next show.
Yeah. At the end of every month, we actually answer questions that have come up.
And join us on social media at TATalkSex. Welcome back. You're listening to TNA Talk Sex.
I'm T.
And I'm A. And T has a story she wants to share about.
A little nugget on the topic of finances
and dating.
Of a gentleman. Yeah. Look, there was someone I ended up dating for a year in New York. And I actually, he's someone that's, you know, I joke, but someone that has a piece of my heart, right? There's like a couple men in my life. And it's like, you know, I learned a lot from him. He's a real bond. So,
sure.
But early on in the dating, I feel like he made the mistake of like taking me somewhere nice, like higher end, in a way that I truly in my naivete was like, oh, I guess he has a lot of money. Like, you know, again, I think I was finishing college. He was maybe just out of it. But I was like, oh, I guess maybe his parents support him. Like, we went to an expensive college. Some people had a lot of money, you know. Like,
yeah.
And I kind of inferred it. I was like, oh, that's nice. Cool. Like, you know, and then when he asked me where I wanted to go for something, I was like, oh, well, I love this little place. And it was like a more expensive restaurant.
Right.
And it came out later on, like he expressed frustration and he said something like, well, you know, I'm paying for this stuff and you're expecting me to like buy this expensive meal and da da. And I think he was viewing it like I was putting it upon him and it was an expectation. And the minute he said that to me, I was like, oh my God, no, like I've misinterpreted your signal and I'm sorry. And, you know, we can go to the moth reading for $5 instead, you know,
right.
Which we did, you know, and so I think. I feel like
trying to impress can backfire.
Yes. And I think at the root of it was this social media pressure or like the, you know, the stereotype that like I need to show off for her or give her
and show her that I have more, you know, resources or whatever.
Right. And I think there are just different ways of showing resources. And also like, who is it that you want to attract anyway? Like,
right.
So unless you truly have them, I think don't. You know, false advertising is only going to hurt you in the end.
Yeah.
Literally your pocket, you know, your account. And
I have
your
to say one way,
connection.
One way that I deal with that is if the guy's asking me out, you know, and like wanting to go out, let's say it's date number two or three or whatever. I'll let him pick, like even if he's like, oh, what do you feel like, what
because
do you, you
he
know
asked you out,
yeah, because I'm aware of that. I've also like I'm very like price conscious coming from my family.
That's nice of you.
and I don't want to make assumptions, you know, and
right.
And so I'll give a range, you know. I'll be like, I could do anything. I could do pizza around the corner. I could do Bel Air. I could do, honestly, I'm up for anything. Like, it all sounds great. And that way, like, I'm letting him know that, you know, I'm not going to be offended if we go to a cheap place around the corner. But, you know, I make it sound fun. And
but by the way, and I think to the sensitivity of like turning a woman off, it's like, I get the idea of wanting that first date, the first couple dates to feel special because you want to show her that you're excited about her.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think it's almost like, well, what are her interests? And we're talking just her, but, you know, I mean, the write-in was about men dating women. But, you know, what is her interest and how can you cater to that to excite her? That is not money. That is not literally like, here's the value of a, you know, a food price or something. It's like, you know, can you go dancing because she likes dancing? Could you, maybe you don't know how to dance, so you take her to a class, you know, so that you can learn. You know, yes, something that just shows like I'm engaging you and things that you like.
Totally. And I think for me, it all is going to boil down to the connection. I mean, how many times have we had, how maybe not often, I don't know, but where you hear these stories about, oh, we just had, it was the most simplest of dates where you're having a picnic on the living room floor, but it was just amazing because, like, if it really boils down to how much attention of your attention are you able to really devote to that person without having the wheels turning in the background, you know, and that's sort of a Buddhist mind trick in a way. So if you can achieve that, I can guarantee that you'll have a fabulous time.
Yeah.
And a great connection.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing. So that's
great. Great send off on that note.
Which also means that if you go to Bel Air, but or whatever, the fancy place, and your wheels are turning, we're not going to connect and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, yeah. Really. I was going to say, even if it is,
it really
the fancy,
has nothing to do with the fancy thing. Mm-hmm. So focus on your connection and your ability to really tune in.
Agreed.
Aww. On that note,
that feels nice. I feel like warm inside.
Good.
Yeah.
On that note, if you please email us at advice@tatalksex.com to get your questions in for next month's show, which is we air the advice shows the end of
every month,
the last Wednesday. Also, if you have comments about any other shows that have been nibbling at your mind, mm-hmm. we read all of them and everything and we love it. So so please do write in. You can also join the conversation with us on social media at TA Talk Sex. And T and I are going to Burning Man, which we're going to do a show when we come back. So we leave in 2 days. We will post pictures when we get back to civilization.
Yeah,
we'll post some send-off pictures. We leave on Saturday. We're caravanning up. Join us on Instagram for that. And definitely when we get back on the grid, we'll show you what we got.
Okay. And like at top of show, I mentioned writing the iTunes review. If you guys are listeners via iTunes, the iTunes podcast app, you have to go tap the little reviews tab when you go to us in the iTunes store. And then when you tap reviews, there is a little spot below. If you read down, it says write a review. And that is the best way to get visibility for us on iTunes. They kind of have a point system. So even though numbers can be high listening wise, it's really about the reviews. So thank you on that
note.
Thank
you very much.
And you've been listening to TNA Talk Sex. This is Ask TNA, because sex is never just about sex.
It's never just about sex.
I'm T.
And I'm A.